Next Sunday is Easter Sunday, and we're going to be receiving an Easter offering for world evangelism. Let's just not stop at 162 world areas. Let's just keep on going. Amen. There's many more countries than that that we can continue to reach, and let's continue to give that God may be glorified. Thank you for being a church that gives to others first. Some 15.75% of every dollar that you give goes out automatically. We don't do anything with that. We don't ask who needs the money. We just automatically send it out, and a good portion of that goes to help support the missionaries that are in 162 world areas. About a little over 700 missionaries. Did you know that per member, the Church of the Nazarene has the highest amount of missionaries being sent in any denomination? That means that we support, we have a great organization, but we also have a very giving heart, amen? And I want to thank you for your giving to Amber and Honey last week. From Oaxaca, Mexico. Yeah, I did that, didn't I? I didn't even have to tattoo it on my arm. I got it. Oaxaca. And would you believe money's still coming in for that, for them? Whenever God grips us, to see what can be done as we turn our lives inside out and live inside out and give. I'm excited to be able to call Amber and Honey or text or Facebook message them and say, there's more money coming in. How do I get it to you? Amen. Isn't that a good problem? Amen. So thank you for your giving to that and for your participation in offerings like the World Evangelism Fund. Every dollar that you give in the World Evangelism Fund will go into reaching into new world areas that the Church of the Nazarene has not yet reached with the glorious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, today is Palm Sunday. If you have your Bibles, you can be turning to Mark chapter 11, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 11. It's the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem, just 4 days before he was arrested. It took place right before the Passover feast, which was one of the three biggest feasts in the Jewish year. It was one of the holidays where if you were Jewish, you probably were traveling to Jerusalem for the Passover. There was a time of high expectation. It was a time of great celebration. And as they came into Jerusalem, they sang songs from the Psalms. By the way, if you look in your Psalms in your Bible, there's going to be, some of them have notes that say, a song of ascent. It means that as they are coming in Jerusalem, they're ascending the holy hill. They're ascending above sea level, literally. And they're coming to Jerusalem singing songs of adoration and worship. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11, we've been talking about what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ and to be his disciple. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we know that Matthew and John followed Jesus in the flesh. Mark and Luke came a little later as they recorded, as they gathered information from the disciples. For instance, Mark followed Peter. And Mark got a lot of his information for his gospel, as he recorded, from the Apostle Peter, who walked with Jesus. So let's look at what it means to be a disciple on Palm Sunday. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus said to his disciples, sent to his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway, and as they untied it, sure enough, some people came standing there and said, "What are you doing untying that colt?" And they answered, "Jesus had told them to," and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna." Now that's very key. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple, and he looked at everything, but since it was already late, he went to Bethany with the 12. You know, it's hard for a young person to grasp the enormity of what is happening here. For instance, I know that when I was young, it would be difficult for me to understand what all God was doing here. The only thing I can kind of compare it to, you know, when I was a young man of 8, 9 years old, I remember sitting in the Community Baptist Church there on Route 40 in Milledgeville, and you talk about a celebration happening, an atmosphere of excitement and expectation. Well, the closest thing I could think of was the Carroll County Fair. And I can remember sitting in worship service the week before the Carroll County Fair was coming to town, and I can remember the preacher talking. And then once in a while, as you know, they were getting the rides would go by on the highway, and I would look, and I knew what that was. I knew it was a great big tilt-a-wheel, for instance, all folded up, and I could see the paint, and I could see the colors, and I could see the lights. That's all I could think about. I was so excited for the Carroll County Fair. I remember working, doing things around the house and pulling dandelions and thistles to make a little money to spend at the Carroll County Fair. The rides would start pulling into town on the preceding Sunday. It was really tough for a young person to keep attention on what was going on in church, because there was an event getting ready to happen called the Carroll County Fair. Well, you may not be excited, but when you grow up near Milledgeville out in the country, what else is there to do? I mean, you know, Carroll County Fair. There's the rides on the Midway as they came in, and all I could think about was blinking lights, and I would just get excited sitting right there in church watching the rides go by, because I knew that that week was going to be amazing. I could already in my mind smell the smell of jet fuel and diesel fuel as they loaded, you know, and got ready for the tractor pull and the smash up derby, and I could already smell it. I was just sitting in church. I thought about the tractor pull, I thought about the cotton candy, I thought about the elephant ears, and I thought about the smell of fried greasy stuff. And it's just amazing, as I thought about the event of the Carroll County Fair, that I thought about the games, I thought about how good I was going to be at the shooting game, I thought about how good I was going to be at picking up the ducks. You know what I mean? Everybody pick up a duck at the Carroll County Fair. Prize every time. Pick it up and you look under it, you know, you get a number, and then you just pick out, you know, anyway, if you've never done it, your life is not complete. And then evening would come and there'd be a cool breeze blowing, kind of take the heat off of that summer week, that first week in August, usually squelching hot. And it began to be a time, you know, in my life as I was an adolescent that young people were starting to pair up here and there, and there'd be, you know, some kids in your class that, you know, you didn't know they were a couple, but all of a sudden they became a couple over the summertime. You're like, hey, how you doing? Wow, did you know? And they'd fade off into the darkness, and then there'd be another, and, you know, and it was just a really alive time as a young person. And the week would come and go, and it was amazing. I remember that it rained all week, one week, and I was young, and my folks had promised me that I would get to ride on the Ferris wheel, and I was so disappointed that I wasn't going to get to ride on the Ferris wheel, and Mom and Dad said, well, if it stops raining, you're going to get to ride. It was Saturday night at like 9 o'clock at night, and it was still raining, and Mom said, do you really still want to ride the Ferris wheel? I'm like, yes, I got to ride the Ferris wheel. So I remember walking through mud to ride an electric big machine and sat down on that thing, and it was still raining, but I could get up over the entire carnival and see what all was going on, and it was amazing. They were already starting to tear down, and I realized as I started to watch them, the older I got and started to look, you know, behind the scenes, by the way, there were areas around the livestock exhibits and behind the campers and the restaurants and over there by the restrooms, you know, puddles of ooey stuff would form. And you knew you didn't want to be around that. You didn't want to step in it. And as the facades of the rides came down and the facades of the campers with the games in them came down, and you began to look at what was behind all of that, and you looked and you're like, I would not want to be a carnival worker today. Because all of that stuff that they had set up, and oh, the excitement was amazing, but there's the guys that have to take it all down. And we witness this every year at the Town and Country Days there in downtown Polo, because we always have a ride right in our front yard. We always have some kind of big event going on. And I mean, we just walk to the window on the second floor, and they're like from here to Ella, from me. And you know, once in a while, there'll be stuff flying on the window and stuff, you know. Well, anyway. But the night that the Town and Country Days tears down, it's like an event at our place. Because all night we're hearing, we're hearing sledgehammers kicking pins out of machines. We're hearing people yelling. We're hearing stuff being drug across the asphalt. Huge iron pieces and loaded up onto diesel trucks and diesel motors running and everything happening. I'm like, I am so glad I'm trying to sleep right now and not out there. Because what goes on in front is a lot different than what goes on behind the scenes. It was so exciting to see what was happening on the front edge. But I knew enough to know to get out of there before the cleanup started. Or I might have to be involved. For the disciples of Jesus, there's a big difference between the hype of the event and true holiness. True disciples are there for the event and there for the work behind the scenes. Amen? We look at the scripture here and we find that Jesus sent two of his disciples on ahead to do some work, to do some preparing of the way. It sounds like worship. We get together for an event, and it's an amazing thing, and for some of us, it's very personal. It's very emotional. It's a wonderful thing. But let's not remember that that's not all there is. Let's remember that that's not all there is to discipleship. Amen? There's the nitty-gritty stuff that goes on behind the scenes in every church this morning all across the globe. Same things are happening. There are those who are working in the nursery, those who are behind cameras, those who are behind soundboards and computers, and those who have prepared the grounds and are cleaning the bathrooms and straightening the building and straightening the chairs, praise the Lord, and loading the pictures on the computer and ordering the tithe envelopes and answering the phone calls and emails and making the coffee and buying the cups to put the coffee in and cleaning up after the event is over. And as soon as the event is over, the true disciples are still there, picking up, cleaning up, and getting ready to do it all over again. From a wide-angle view, Jerusalem was already beginning to buzz with activity surrounding the celebration of the Passover. It was quite an impressive sight. Towering walls of the temple. They remembered centuries of history shared to them. The throngs of devoted believers gathering for the Passover. Little wonder why they broke into song. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is amazing. That's worship, amen. And we do that. We love to get together for the event of worship. Luke records that Jesus cried when he looked at the city before he came into Jerusalem. I think he was distressed at what Jerusalem could have been if only they were on track and following Jesus. The disciples, we find in this text, had vital roles to play. This is where the first test of being a disciple usually comes in, and we figure out what we're made of as a disciple. When Jesus asks us to do something. Can you hear me all the way back? You see, we love that Jesus invites us to worship, and we love the fact that he gives us a free pass to heaven. Praise the Lord. But then he asks us to go ahead and prepare the way, and then he may be met with, all right, I'll do that, or I'm pretty busy right now. But you see, for the disciple, the event and the work that it took to create the event is all part of discipleship. Amen. The Jewish pilgrims were gathered together. They sang Hosanna, literally meaning, Lord, save us now. I got to thinking about all the people that must have been there in that crowd that day. They weren't all followers of Jesus. They were people who didn't even know what was going on. But the cry of the human heart is the same. Even before we met Jesus, we were all crying out for something to save us. Whether it was going down and buying a new car, Lord, save this feeling of meaninglessness in my life. Maybe a new car will give me a new meaning. So we go to the car dealer and we say, save me now, I need a new car. Or we go to Dairy Queen a little more often than we should, and we're thinking, well, I nothing against Dairy Queen, but to fill this hollow place in my soul, not my stomach, DQ, save me now. Or for those who are struggling with addiction, it may be a new drug this morning. Heroin, save me now. Alcohol, save me now. And as a church, as a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, we have the privilege of answering that cry. Hosanna, save us now. We're saying the same thing. Jesus, save us now. Even as Christians, we are relying on him for our salvation. But the beautiful thing is, we can answer the cry. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Amen. Amen. To a world that is hurting and crying, looking for meaning and are empty, crying out for something to save someone, something, the church has the beautiful privilege as disciples of Jesus to answer the cry. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. What we're talking about in church growth and church planning is not about numbers. Amen. Numbers is just a way to help us figure out what we're doing and organize. It's about saving the lost. It's about reaching those that Jesus came to seek and to save. It's a privilege. I'd like to invite our ushers to begin distributing the elements of communion this morning. I'd like to invite anyone, everyone who's here to receive the elements today. It's about commemorating the life and sacrifice that Jesus made for us as he gave his life on the cross of Calvary. Scripture teaches us to not receive the elements of communion if we know that there's sin in our heart. But this morning, it's a beautiful thing to realize that we may have come in with sin in our heart this morning, but we don't have to leave with sin in our heart. Amen? And we can be in good relationship with Jesus before we leave here today. I love the fact that Jesus sent his disciples on ahead. And those who went ahead shouted, Hosanna. And those who came up from behind shouted, Hosanna. Jesus was giving his disciples instructions on how to lead the community in praise and adoration and recognition of who Jesus was. Amen. He was also teaching his disciples that there was front-end work to do and there was work behind the scenes to do. And both of them are essential to the sharing of the gospel. We are a culture that loves an event, aren't we? But I'm so thankful that Jesus has called you and me to not just experience the event, but to participate, to partner with him in the nitty-gritty stuff. That means sometimes in our relationships, it gets messy. It means as we walk and talk with people in relationship, and they ask for help in particular areas, it means that we've got decisions to make on what we're going to prioritize in regards to time and resources in our life. I can imagine that after the event, there were a lot of high fives and attaboys and good jobs as the disciples were so excited that everybody, it seemed like, in the whole world was getting ready to receive Jesus as the Messiah, and they were just so excited. And then it wasn't long before the scene changed. You see, so many of the people that were there for the event were there because of the hype. They weren't there because they were followers. They were there because, it was something to do. And maybe they even thought, this is where I should be right now, but my heart's not really in it. Jesus continued unflinchingly, unswervingly toward the cross. And he invited his disciples to participate in more than just putting on an event. He said, you got to be here for the startup, the event, and the cleanup. Welcome to discipleship. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus doesn't want us to miss any of it. And he says, you get the privilege of being involved in everything from the top to the bottom. Just jump in over your heads and do it. That's what it's going to take for us to move ahead as a church. It's what it's going to take for our district to, Ella, plant 250 churches in the next 15 years. Seriously?
It's a big area.
Yeah, it's a big area. But it's a lot of work. Amen? A symbol of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for us. May it preserve you blameless until the day of His coming. Let's receive together and be thankful. Have in your hand is a symbol of the blood that Jesus shed for us on the cross of Calvary. How quickly things can change from people praising Him to people shouting, "Crucify." It's made out of grapes because it looks a lot like blood. And that's on purpose, because we realize that the price that was paid was not paid from the fruit of the vine, but from the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's receive. Worship team, would you come on up? I'd like to close with this scripture before we sing. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet. And with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." What an event. Amen. That's worship. And at the sound of their voices, the doorpost shook. This is what happens on the inside as we encounter Jesus. And the temple was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe to me. I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he'd taken with tongs from the altar. This is salvation. And with it he touched my lips. And he said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me. Send me on ahead to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And I will be with you even to the very end of the age." Who will go? Amen. Here am I. Send me. Let's stand together and sing. Thank Him for His grace. My faithful Father enduring friend, your tender mercies like a river with no end, it overwhelms me. Covers my sin each time I come into your presence. I stand in wonder once again. Your grace still amazes me. Your love still a mystery. Each day I fall on my knees. Your grace still amazing.
when I say, I know there's no way to repay you, only to offer you my praise. Your grace still amazes me, your love still amazes me. Fall on my knees, your grace still amazes me, your grace still amazes me.
Never forget the price he paid for our salvation. As we close, let's sing the doxology together.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and purify us for himself, a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Amen. You are dismissed. May God bless you and keep you.